A very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 20th April 2021, and we will be continuing from this book, The Essence of Infinite Meaning, Teachings from the Adapted Verses of the Sutra of Infinite Meaning. We are at page 211. Just relax body and mind. Then we will have our usual half an hour of awareness-based meditation. We will off the light now, and you can start your meditation. For those who are new, who need instruction, maybe I will give you some very brief instruction. The purpose of meditation is to develop the training of the mind to be aware, to be mindful within. And to do that is very simple. You just relax completely, body and mind. Feel it soothingly at peace. Then just relax and don't do anything. Let the mind settle down. Then settle and silent everything. The silent mind without thought is your true mind, is the awareness nature. So to realize that, you need to relax into every mind state that arises, both body and mind. Then after that, you just maintain awareness, aware. Don't do anything. Don't try to know. Don't try to arise any thinking. Just relax, maintain awareness. Whatever arise, aware, finish. Aware, finish. So maintain that training until the thinking mind or the mundane mind or what we call sankhara activity. Sankhara is mental activity, mental movement. All this movement, if you just maintain awareness and don't do anything, don't try to know, just aware, then it will slow down until it becomes very quiet. This may take a while for people who are new, but for those who have already developed the understanding and the training, the mind can settle down very fast. Sometimes within a matter of few seconds, you will go into the silence or the stillness. It depends on the individual. So relax into every mind state that arises. Relax body and mind, then maintain silence. Don't try to do anything. Don't try to know. Silent. Just maintain awareness. Whatever arises, just aware. You can be aware of your form and mind, the tactile movement, the thinking, the sankhara movement, everything. Just aware. Finish. Aware. Finish. Then let it settle down. This is the fastest way to develop awareness or sati, mindfulness. Then when it's settled down, you will realize your true mind, which is the meditative mind, and that is your silent mind. The silent mind without thought is the meditative mind, that is your true mind. So the purpose of meditation is to realize that, stabilize it, then use it to observe, to develop understanding, that is meditation. Without the silent mind, without the stability of it, you cannot be ever mindful. If you are not ever mindful, you cannot be heedful. To be heedful, you have to be ever mindful to use this mind that is trained to develop the understanding, which is to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha, which is basically the Noble Eightfold Path. So development of sati, stabilizing it, is very important. Most people like the five spiritual faculty of Sadha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi and Panya. That's why they have mental hindrance instead, the opposite five negativity of mind state or mental state. They arise because you lack the five spiritual faculties that can let you develop the meditative mind and understand spiritual teaching. So when that is lacking, the mental hindrance will arise. And as the name goes, mental hindrance are mind states that hinders the mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. That's why most people cannot meditate, cannot develop the heedful mind, cannot silence their mind, cannot develop the meditation. So knowing this, you need to really spend more time to develop the spiritual faculty, to strengthen your spiritual faculty to enable you to meditate easily. But for those who lack spiritual faculty, if they still want to meditate, you follow my instruction earlier on, then you will settle down very fast too. But most people are taught differently. They are taught using traditional ways or methods and techniques, which requires a meditation object or a skillful means. Because they realize their mind think a lot, wander off very fast. Because when you lack the five spiritual faculty, the mental hindrance make your mind heedless, restless, and it thinks a lot. Because of that, they need an object of meditation or skillful means to anchor this mind. As I most methods and technique is to develop the training of the mind to be mindful of the object of meditation. The object of meditation's sole purpose is to anchor the mind so that it does not wander off heedlessly, thereby developing the heedless mind which is lost in thought. When you are lost in thought, you cannot be mindful, you cannot be aware. You are distracted by your thought process, the sankhara activity. So meditation is to understand all this and silent, don't do anything. If you are used to the method, technique and the skillful means to anchor the mind, to develop the mindfulness, to stabilize it, you can also use them, no harm, no different. Whichever approach, as long as your mind can become quiet, peaceful, aware within, that is the understanding. Use it. Okay, with that, I will set the alarm for half an hour. Then you can develop the meditation on your own. After 30 minutes, the alarm will go off. Then I will ring the bell 3 times. Upon hearing the bell, slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner calmness, inner peace, inner awareness that you have developed. That's the deep. Stabilize it, then use it to live life, use it to cultivate daily mindfulness. Okay. You can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. When you are able to realize the true mind, the silent mind is completely silent, quiet, just the awareness nature inside away, finish. It can be at a point where you want to be aware, wherever your mind is. It can be the object of meditation, or at your mind base, or at the subtle breathing, anapanasati, or anywhere. So that awareness is very important. When the thinking is not there, the awareness is your nature. That one doesn't use up any energy. That one is capable of observation and understanding. Wherever there is any sense contact, you can also understand how you function as a human being. Like your sense tactile, when it arises, you will know. Means contact between any point within your physical body, your senses, the tactile consciousness. Or if there's something fragrant or whatever smell come into contact with your nostril, the awareness is there. Then before you perceive it, before the arising of the thought, the concept, the consciousness, the perception of it, which is the aggregate of mind, you are able to be aware. Initially, the awareness is just aware, no words, nothing. Then the views, opinion, conditioning, labeling all come in. See that, observe that, understand that. Then all the other senses like hearing, smell, taste, tactile, all, they can arise. But because we are in the form of meditation, so the seeing is less active. But the other senses are there. So the awareness nature is the one that can be aware of all this. Then only the mundane mind come out. The aggregates of mind come out. Observe all this. Understand all this. Just aware, 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 and you will understand. All bodhisattvas observe the truth in this way. They give rise to sympathy, great loving kindness and compassion. They want to save and relieve others. So they deeply penetrate all phenomena. The appearances of the abiding, changing, ceasing of all phenomena are such, and all good and evil phenomena are also such. So such here means suchness, the reality. Ta-ta-ta. We'll go to the notes. So according to the footnote 30, there is this Venerable Master Zi Yi's a brief summary of the Sutra of Infinite Meaning. I think they refer to this book as their reference. So according to this book, the footnote says, Bodhisattvas, Mahasattvas, observe the truth in this way. Give rise to sympathy, great loving kindness and compassion, and wants to save and relieve others from suffering. Means they are real bodhisattva who walk the path of Dhamma with the four basic vow of a great bodhisattva. Then they deeply penetrate all things. This is also part of the vow. They see that the appearances of things is such, means the suchness, the reality. And know that such is the arising of things. They see the appearance of thing is also such, and no such is the abiding of thing. They see the appearance of things is such, and no such is the changing of thing. They see the appearance of thing is such, and no such is the cessation of things. They see the appearance of thing is such, and no evil things are, sorry, and no evil. No evil thing can arise. They see the appearance of thing is such, and no virtuous thing can arise. Things abide, change, and cease in the same way. So this is the explanation they have. We will go back to the sharing. I will explain them later. The truth is a very deep and penetrative principle. Bodhisattva use wisdom to thoroughly observe the principles of all matter and appearances in the universe. So this one is tied up to the third Bodhisattva vow. This nature ours vow to penetrate all truth, to develop the understanding of all truth and phenomena, so that we can develop the perfection of wisdom. That's why they have to observe the principle of all appearances and matters in the universe. So all bodhisattva observe the truth in this way. Means when you observe nature, you develop understanding. And nature, like the Buddha said, they are dependent origination, condition arising, causal phenomena. That is, it's a condition world. So nature is governed by a set of nature's law that the Buddha defined them as the Pancha Niyamas, the universal order of nature. So when you understand this law, you have right view, you understand the laws that governs life and existence. That's how you penetrate nature's truth. That's how you develop right view leading to wisdom. So all bodhisattva observe the truth in this same manner. Through observing all appearances, they contemplate why things, though fundamentally empty, they still manifest so many complicated and varying appearances. These appearances are inseparable from the three principles and the four states of existence. The principle of matter is that material things go through the state of formation, existence, decay, and disappearance, or what we call birth, existence, the growth phase, then the decaying phase, and the cessation or disappearance phase. The principle of life is that living beings also go through such state of birth, aging, illness, and death. The principle of the mind is that thought goes through the state of arising, abiding, changing, and ceasing. So these are the four states, the four stage thing that the sutra mentioned, even though they are empty, but they manifest so many complicated and varying appearances. So all these appearances or phenomena are inseparable from the three principles and the four states of existence. So the four states of existence, they already explained. Okay, we move on. Bodhisattva also observed the truth of sentient beings suffering. Means this noble truth of dukkha is to be understood. That's why you have to be mindful of them, be aware, observe them. Thus they give rise to sympathy, great loving kindness, and compassion. They want to save and relieve the limitless living beings, take them all across to the other shore. So they have to penetrate all phenomena. The method or technique Bodhisattva use to save all sentient beings is to lead them to deeply penetrate the Dhamma. Initially is to penetrate all phenomena. Then all Dhamma is found within the myriad appearances of the world's phenomena. When you observe with a silent mind, with your true mind, with your awareness nature, then you can understand. Then you can see things as they are, not according to the perverted wrong perception created by your thought process, by your memory. Your memory is full of views, opinion, conditioning, belief system, etc. So all this, they can never give rise to understanding unless that form of mind has awakened. Then they have this wisdom connected to them. With that wisdom, they will not use memory. They will act according to that Dhamma understanding or wisdom that they have awakened to. That's why acting according to memory is not acting at all. You have to act with wisdom or understanding, following Noble Eightfold Path, following the Dhamma teaching and the Dhamma understanding. So when you observe all Dhamma within the myriad appearances of the world's phenomena, you will understand their characteristics. You will understand their four-stage cycle. You will understand their universal characteristics of impermanence. When you understand impermanence, you will also understand suffering. Because when you grasp on to it, wanting things your way, which is not Nietzsche's way, you suffer. When you cannot accept the reality of the moment, suchness, you suffer. Because Nietzsche's condition already set. When causes and condition is already set, things will flow and move in that direction. It cannot be otherwise. So you cannot accord and flow and accept the reality for what it is. Then you want things your way, which is not nature's way, suffering will arise. That's why from impermanent suffering will be the natural consequence. Then when you see all this, you will come to also realize a very profound universal characteristics of anatta. Anatta means it's not a permanent unchanging entity that you can grab onto, hold onto, cling onto and say, this is me. Therefore, all this can be mine. So that ego, the atta, is false because it's impermanent, dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. So how can it be a permanent unchanging entity? How can you be deluded by all the phenomenal world with the universal characteristic? And because they are impermanent, there is no permanent unchanging entity. That's why it is not you, non-self. Non-self doesn't mean nothing exists. Thing exists, but it doesn't belong to you because it's impermanent. It's dependent originating. When you attach and cling, deludedly grasp, give meaning, it will give rise to suffering. And because it's impermanent, there is no reality. No reality means not only non-self, empty nature or existence. That's the reason why when you fully comprehend through emptiness the Dhamma, then you realize from the void it arises to the void it returns. So technically, is the empty nature of existence. There are things, but all these things are dependent originating, not real. Dependent on condition, they manifest, they arise. Dependent on condition, they continue to arise, the sustainment of it. Then depending on the cessation of the condition, the phenomena will cease to be. So all this, when you observe them clearly, you develop awakening, the understanding. Then from there, this wisdom will prevent you from being deluded by the phenomenal world of consciousness, by all the appearances that arise within the conditioned world. So that's how all Dhamma can be realized within nature. So here the author mentioned Bodhisattva, the way they cultivate, the method Bodhisattva used to save all sentient beings or take them across, is to lead them to deeply penetrate all phenomena. Not only all phenomena, including all Dhamma. Because all Dhamma is found within the myriad appearances of the world's phenomena. When you penetrate all phenomena, you penetrate all Dhamma. That's why it is very important that you can train yourself to develop the silent mind, the true mind, the meditative mind, to observe and to understand and to awaken. Without this observation, you cannot penetrate, you cannot awaken. Then I move on. Dhamma is what enables us to understand appearances, are what enables us to discern differences. However, after understanding and discerning all phenomena, we have to take action in order to understand the true appearances, the ultimate reality of all phenomena. This is very true. You have to live it, understand or not? Take action means to live it, so that you really manifest the understanding. If you cannot make use of it or leave it, means what you have is Dhamma knowledge. It's not wisdom, not real understanding. So if you can make it a living reality, then it becomes a part of your nature. It will manifest as truth within nature. So I will read the last part so that you can understand. According to the author, he said, we have to take action in order to understand the true appearances, the ultimate reality of all phenomena. This is very true. Otherwise, when a situation arises, we will quickly be enticed to stray from our path. See, without wisdom, you can be deceived. You can be gullible. People have their own appearances. Matters have their own appearances, and principles have their own appearances. So these three, they have their own appearances. So people, matter, and principle. So all Dhamma, the multitude of different teaching, manifest through appearances. Appearances means phenomena. This is why we must learn the Dhamma when walking the Bodhisattva path. This is very important. Where we come for the living being through our Bodhisattva vow. So we will be taking this almost ceaseless, unending birth and death to come as Bodhisattva, to walk the path of Dhamma, to cultivate the Bodhisattva way. And we have to learn the Dhamma when we come as Bodhisattva. How to learn the Dhamma? We have to penetrate all phenomena, thereby penetrating all Dhamma. So to walk the Bodhisattva path and to save and transform ourselves and others, we need to learn how Bodhisattva deeply penetrate all phenomena. This is the most important. And completely understand their true appearances. You must have that awakening, that realization. Only then can we exercise, see, he used the word provisional wisdom. I use initial wisdom to teach sentient beings. The Buddha taught according to sentient beings' capability by opening up many Dhamma doors of skillful means and teaching the Dhamma through provisional wisdom or initial wisdom. These teachings are all encompassing and inconceivable. Taken collectively, there is only one simple teaching. That's why the single Dhamma. But when spread into the world, the Dhamma is limitless or infinite. We must seek the Dhamma and learn infinite teaching in order to penetrate true appearances. So these are all teachings from the Sutra of Infinite or Innumerable Meaning. What is true appearances? This appearance has no appearance. Such non-appearance actually contain all appearances, which coexist without interfering with each other. The one can give rise to many, and the myriads phenomena do not obstruct one. All phenomena and appearances in the world, in fact, derive from this one true appearances, the appearance of the abiding, changing, and ceasing of all phenomena are such, and all good and evil phenomena are also such, means the reality, suchness. As we walk the Bodhisattva path, if we cannot understand this principle, how can we make use of the provisional wisdom to save and transform sentient beings? The Buddha nature or the Buddha Dhamma is vast. like a great ocean. So we must never stop diligently practicing it in order to deeply penetrate all true appearances and truly understand the arising of phenomena. So this would keep on repeating itself. Yeah, to penetrate all phenomena. Yeah, to truly understand the arising of phenomena, the sustainment of phenomena, and the ending or ceasing of phenomena. All this you need a silent mind, your true nature, your true mind, to observe them, to awaken to them. Otherwise, you cannot understand. All phenomena are inseparable from the four state of existence. So it's either the three or the four state. The human mind goes through the four stage: arising, abiding, changing, and ceasing. Yeah. Our body goes through birth, old age, sickness, and death. And the universe undergoes formation, existence, means the growth phase, and decadence, and disappearance. Yeah. The ignorance in our mind affects the way we live, so that we create much negative karma. So when you have ignorance, negative karma will follow, and directly or indirectly cause natural and man-made disaster because of karma. The origin of all different kinds of disaster can be traced back to the entanglement of affliction or suffering born of delusion or ignorance. Actually, good and evil are both subject to the cycle of the four states of existence. Turning in one direction will create a virtuous cycle, but even a small deviation can lead to a vicious cycle. If you have right view, you will lead to the virtuous cycle. If you don't have right view, you will deviate and you will lead to a evil, vicious cycle. So all this, when you cultivate, you will understand. Aside from attachment to the appearances of the world around us, humans also have different attachment to their perception, such as their views of self, the view of others, view of sentient beings, and view of lifespan. However, these four views are also inseparable from the three principles and the four states of existence. At every moment, everything in this world is arising, ceasing, and changing. So we need to clearly understand the meaning of the four states. At this particular moment, your appearance, or my appearance, may look a certain way, and we are not aware of anything changing. But our body are constantly metabolizing, and the bacteria and cells in our bodies are continuously replicating and dying, replacing the old with the new. This is how the body maintains its health. The body is like a small universe, which is changing and transforming in every instant with every breath. Because Bodhisattva can observe this closely and meticulously, they have gained a complete understanding. Therefore, they can take the next step to observe the truth. They immerse themselves in true principle, so as to contemplate all phenomena. See, here contemplation comes in. So we must all first penetrate the truth. Without an understanding of the truth, it is very difficult to understand the Dhamma. This is why the first teaching the Buddha expounded was that of the Four Noble Truths. Yeah. So the Four Noble Truths is very important. Yeah? That's why you have to understand this truth. Eh? Otherwise, you cannot understand the Dhamma. These Four Noble Truths are very unique. They are the Noble Truth of suffering, the cause of arising of suffering, the cessation of suffering, and the path that leads to the cessation of suffering. Bodhisattva observe all phenomena to the Fundamental Truth, and therefore they clearly understood or understand the sutra's teaching that thoughts never abide. New things arise and cease continuously. Furthermore, they observe that arising, abiding, changing, and ceasing occur in every instant. That is the universal characteristic. Yeah. The other thing that the author didn't explain is this Four Noble Truths, they are very, very beautiful, unique truths. The reason why they are called Noble Truths is because these are the truths. When you have the understanding, when you awaken to it, it will make you noble ones. During the time of the Buddha, noble ones are called Aryas. Aryas are noble ones, and it's also called enlightened beings. Enlightened beings are noble ones because they are very noble in all aspects of life, very noble in the way they understand truth, life. They have wisdom. Then they are very noble in the way they conduct themselves, in the way they arise, their thought process, in the way they interact with people through their action and speech, in the way they arise their thought process. They constantly develop the cultivation of the four right effort to purify. Then also they have right understanding to live the appropriate life, following right living, having right livelihood based on Dhamma understanding. Then they also have right mindfulness and samadhi leading to all the wisdom. That's why they are very noble in all aspects of life. They have the embodiment of this Noble Eightfold Path. That's why it's called a Noble Truth. Not even universal truth or special truth. So this understanding is very important. When you understand, then you will appreciate how wise the Buddha is and how wonderful his teaching of Dhamma is. He can summarize to us all of life just through this Four Noble Truths. They are the essence of the Buddha's teaching, like the secret of life, because within it, it encompasses all of truth. All of the supramundane and mundane aspects of life are summarized there. You can understand all truth when you understand the fundamental truth and its treatment. So this aspect, the author didn't share, so I will share it with you, okay? We will go back to the sharing. When the mind abides in the Dhamma, it will be clear and pure, very true. When you have Dhamma, you will have the wisdom and the understanding. That's why there is clarity, there is purity, there is understanding. Then there is only tranquility, stillness, and awareness within. So as thoughts never abide, because living beings are heedless. They think a lot. They arise the heedless thinking. They are constantly lost in thought, hardly aware. So as thought never abide, there will be no interpersonal dispute. Even if he knows clearly who is right and who is wrong, because our mind retains no resentment. We are like a boat that leaves behind no trace as it passes. So this is just the explanation. Eh? So when they use this word as thought never abide, this refer to enlightened being. It's the mundane mind or the thought process. They never abide. It's the mind must have no dwelling. It's they don't dwell anywhere. They don't abide anywhere. And because of that, they don't get themselves entangled. That's why there is no problem at all, no interpersonal dispute. Then even though they may have the understanding clearly of worldly matter, like what is right or who is right and who is wrong, they have no problem because their mind is free of the evils. They do not carry any of this resentment or unhappiness or duality. That's why they give the analogy like a boat that leaves behind no trace as it passes by, as it passes. Thus we remain immersed in the Dhamma when the Buddha expounded the sutta, the sutras. He often told story of how Devadatta has persecuted him in past life and tried to discredit the Buddha Dhamma in this life. However, he was just using this story as an example to let everyone understand what is right and what is wrong. Whatever hatred, worries, or resentment he felt were left in the past, and his mind was free of such obstruction. He never hold any of this vengeance or whatever, because the Buddha, through his wisdom, through his perfection of Sammasambuddhahood, has great wisdom. That's why he can accept Devadatta for what he is. Because of his wrong view, his delusion, he is the way he is. That's why he did all those things. But because of what he did, he created that type of affinity with the Bodhisattva. It seems he vowed through his hatred to come after the Bodhisattva life after life, where he wants to take revenge. So that created the negative part, the hatred and all those things. It was involving the Gopengas incident in one of the distant life. Then because of some misunderstanding and karmic thing, Devadatta created that very intense vow with that negative intent. He vowed to come after the Bodhisattva life after life, to take revenge. And because of that, he continuously had entanglement with the Bodhisattva. Of course, the original intent was through the hatred. But because the Buddha understand out of love and compassion, the Buddha accepted him for what he is and even helped him in many instances to cultivate, to develop wholesomeness and understanding. Then the kami come in and he caused Sikhism. He tried to kill the Buddha, end up harming the Buddha. That's why that kami became very severe. And Devadatta went down to the what they call Avijja hell. Very, very traumatic that time. But it seems, according to Sakyamuni Buddha, it was predicted that in the distant future, Devadatta will still become enlightened, become a Pacheka Buddha. That was a great compassion. So that's why sometimes when you have affinity with great beings, for good or for bad, you only know how to develop the gratitude and condition for you to receive the teaching. It may help them. And things may turn around later, not immediate. They have to clear their coming obstruction and all those things first. Like the thoughts in our mind and the cells in our body, phenomena also continuously arise and cease, with the newly constantly replacing the old. This is also like the cycle of sunrise and sunset. Time passes with each second. When the night is over, the sun rises again. This cycle never stops. After carefully observing the macrocosm of the universe and the microcosm of our own bodies, we can see that all phenomena and all truth of the world are arising, abiding, changing, and ceasing in every instant. So regarding this four-stage cycle of all phenomena, in fact, all phenomena you can break down into either three or four stage cycle. I have to explain it a bit deeper in more clarity so that you all can develop the understanding. Yeah, you all can develop the understanding. You see, when we observe phenomena, when we observe our physical body, which is the rupa aspect, when we meditate on our body, the physical, kaya. So mindfulness of kaya, if we can develop that, we can develop our understanding. Then we also develop mindfulness of feeling. Then we also develop mindfulness of content of consciousness, citta, upasana. Then finally, we develop mindfulness of Dhamma, or the essential Dhamma or truth that the Buddha has taught us. So when you are mindful and aware, you are not only able to be aware of the four-stage cycle or the three-stage cycle. In fact, every phenomenon, every appearances, they have this four-stage or three-stage cycle. So the most obvious is our physical body. Since birth, we saw this growth phase. Initially, we are born into this world, of course, scientifically we know there is conception between the sperm and the ovum. That's how it starts. Then at that time, there was no organ, nothing, just single cell. Yeah. Then they start to create the stage of birth. They come into existence. Then the growth phase is the subdivision of the cells until the embryo slowly developed to have all this organ, the senses, then later on the consciousness. Then the embryo develop until it reach a stage where it can be born into the world. That's how from the embryo it will result into a fetus or baby that can be born into the world. Then as the baby is born, it will also go through the continuation of the growth phase. So this growth phase will reach adolescence. When the baby grew up to become a child, it's still growing. Where there is this growth hormone, then it becomes a youth. After youth, you continue to grow until you peak. Yeah, you peak. So when you peak, means you have reached the plateau phase of growth, means it will not grow anymore because the growth hormone actually slow down or very little already. That's how the body starts to develop aging. That aging is the decay cycle where we age. Our senses become continuously affected. As we age, our senses starts to fail us. So if you are observing, you are mindful, you can see all this. Sometimes you don't have to wait till very old to witness all this. We can see it from our parents, our grandparents, and from others. If you are observant, you can see all this. Then finally is death. That's why wherever there is birth, there will be this growth phase where you will grow. Then there is this decaying phase where you will confront sickness, disease, and even decay. Then injury can happen during growth phase too, leading to the decaying phase. So all this can happen. Then finally is death. So the birth and death in between is the growth phase and the decaying phase. So we call it the four-stage cycle. The universe is the same. Initially, it come into existence. There is the birth. That can be the Big Bang theory, where everything started from the Big Bang, the black hole, the singularity, then expanding universe. Then initially, expanding is a growth phase. Then it will reach a stage where it will contract, its decaying phase. Then it will cease, the four-stage cycle. So when we observe all this, we start to develop understanding by going into the physical body. Not only the macro phase of the four-stage cycle or the three-stage cycle, we develop mindfulness, sensitivity of awareness. Then we can feel the vibration within. Then everything within our physical body has this phenomenon. They call it the phenomenon of change. Everything is in a state of flux, vibrating. That's why we can feel our heartbeat, our pulse of life. Everything within our physical body is changing. Then for those who understand science, you not only age gradually, in fact, every instant, every moment, our cells, they keep on dying and new cells are being created to replace them. Then if you have this ability to feel, to be aware, to be sensitive, then you realize not only the pulse of life, the heartbeat, the vibration, the birth and death of this whatever pulse that arise and pass away, like our breath too, our breathing, it goes in and it goes out, the birth and death of our breath. Then when we walk, the birth and death of our footstep. In fact, our footstep also has the four-stage cycle. The moment you start to move, that is the birth of the step. Then from that birth, there is the rising phase, then the stepping down, then the end phase. See, four-stage cycle. Birth, arising, decaying, cease. Then when you develop mindfulness to be very sensitive, then you realize not only your physical body manifests the universal characteristics of change or impermanence, because everything is in a state of flux. Even our thought process, our feeling, our perception, our aggregate of consciousness, vijnanam, they keep on changing. This moment, feeling is like that. Next moment, feeling is different again. Even perception is the same. The thought process is the same. They arise and they pass away. They appearing and the disappearing. But in between, if you create further heedless thinking, it will continue to sustain itself. Then finally, when conditions cease to be, it cease to be. That's why thought come and go, arise and pass away. It's only a thought, dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena, following the dwelling, paticca-samuppada. When you observe clearly, when you understand, then you really awaken. Then you realize it's only a thought. How come it has such power over us? How come it can delude living beings and condition them into affliction, misery, suffering? So what is going on? Because when we have not penetrated the Dhamma, when we have not observed enough to awaken, then we will continue to be deluded, to be deceived, to be gullible. And we take this form and mind as very real. We cling onto it, we grasp onto it, we hold onto it. Then it becomes grasping aggregate, upadana khandas. That's how suffering comes to be. So this is born of self-delusion, sakkaya ditti. then you can't see all this, the universal characteristics of all appearances, or the five aggregates of form and mind, then you will be deluded, you will be trapped, you can become gullible. That's the reason why in the Heart Sutta, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, inside his Heart Sutta teaching, started by expressing this very powerful statement. When Kuan Yin Bodhisattva was cultivating the Prajna Paramita, he illuminated the five skandha and realized that they were all empty. That's how she awakened. She realized the five aggregates are empty. Why? Because it's impermanent, dependent originating, not a permanent unchanging entity, non-self, empty. That's how she awakened. Then when she realized that within true emptiness, life become wonderful. Zhen kong miao you. Realizing true emptiness enable you to understand existence as wonderful existence. True emptiness is wonderful existence. That stanza, that saying in the Heart Sutta is very beautiful. When you penetrate true emptiness, you will not suffer, you will awaken. Then life become beautiful. You understand life, you understand the secret of life, that's why you can live life. Then you can experience all of the pristine wonders and beauty of life. Then life become like meaningful, wonderful, life take a turn. Then everything becomes so pristine, so beautiful, so wonderful. That's how enlightenment can bring forth that condition. So all this understanding are very important. Then when we are mindful and aware, we can observe not only the physical body, not only our mind, mental phenomena. Physical mental phenomena are just the first two. Then nature's phenomena, the third one. That one is most powerful. When you are mindful, you can be at the moment of its arising, sustaining, and its passing away. The sustainment phase has two stages, the growth and the decay. In fact, my voice, the sound, also has this four-stage cycle. When I speak, it arises. Then the voice is strong, it builds up, then it ceases, then it disappears. So every phenomenon you observe, they have this four-stage cycle or three-stage phenomenon. But you have to be very mindful. You have to have this stability of mindfulness. The Buddha used the word ever mindful. When you can be in that state of mindfulness, stability of mindfulness, where your mind has entered sati, that every phenomenon you see, the universal characteristics are there. Like I used to say, truth is everywhere. Why can't you see? For those who see the enlightened being, they always see. What is truth? The universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state and non-self. They are in the midst of life and nature. Why can't you see? For those who see, they always see. But to awaken to that, your mind must be in the state of continuous mindfulness, very stable, ever mindful. Then you will reach a stage where the mind enters the, and you can see every phenomenon very clearly. Because during that time, all the four stage cycle, you can see them. You can be at the moment of his arising, sustaining, and his passing away without words, without any concept or idea. The mundane mind is not there, it's just the silent mind awareness, aware. That's a specific phenomenal awareness. The awareness and the phenomenon move as one. And all phenomena exhibit this universal characteristic, the four stage cycle. That's why you can see that they are dependent, originating, condition, arising, causal phenomena. That's why it is impermanent. It's dependent on condition, it arises. Dependent on condition, it continues to sustain itself. And dependent on condition, it ceases to be. That's how the four stage cycle come to be. So when you are completely silent and aware, you can perceive them. You can awaken to them. You can develop the understanding. This is how you cultivate. So when you understand this, you will come to realize that daily mindfulness is very important. The stability of that awareness nature, that true mind, that mindfulness is very, very important. That's why without sati sampajana, mindfulness and clear comprehension in the midst of life, you cannot develop the true wisdom, the penetrative wisdom. You can't. You can't even cultivate for, not for the virtue. You can't even cultivate the four foundation of mindfulness. Well, the four foundation of mindfulness needs stability of mindfulness. Yeah. So the 10 steps of the Avijja Sutta become clear to you. You suddenly realize so beautiful that teaching. That's why the Buddha can come out with the Avijja Sutta, the Sutta on Avijja, how the ignorance sequence come about, and how the enlightenment sequence come about, and what are the conditions that leads to the enlightenment in the here and the now. So all the 10 step enlightenment sequence, you have to develop them. Step one is most important. Must have Dhamma friends, Kayana Mitta. Only through that you can, the second step, opportunity to listen to the true Dhamma. Then after that, the third step, you will develop faith in the Buddha Dhamma and the Sangha. Then once the third step is there, fourth step become easy, because the second step actually also prepare you to realize the fourth step. Fourth step is the initial wisdom, yoniso manasikara. When you observe with a silent mind, after you have listened to the Dhamma, you understand what this teaching is, then you develop the three turning wisdom. First, through listening attentively, or nowadays you can read it out, or you can have the second turning wisdom. Means you can reflect on it, contemplate on it, and develop inquiry. Or you can have Dhamma discussion, or you can have other type of study or activity to develop the initial wisdom. So through the second turning wisdom, which is constant reflection, contemplation, inquiry into the truth, following the second turning of the Four Noble Truths, you will develop that very powerful second turning wisdom called Chintamaya Panya. Then when Chintamaya Panya arise, it will prepare you to receive truth. So the third turning, which is Bhavanamaya Panya, is wisdom born of the meditative training, can arise. So with the fourth step, you will have this Yoniso Manasikara, which is very important. And these are the initial wisdom that will prompt you at the moment of sense experience, so that there is this understanding that you will not stir your mind. You will not like react to what you see, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. So when you don't do this, there is less mental hindrance. There is less duality of like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant. Sense experience, you can be at the moment to accept the reality of the moment. But this initial wisdom will prompt you, and you will understand the universal characteristic, the way things are, suchness. Dhamma is Dhamma. Then everything will become very clear to you. That's why your mind become more and more stable, more and more calm, more and more peaceful, less stirring, less reaction. then there is more and more peace, equanimity, space between thought. And then after that, it's very easy for you to cultivate the daily mindfulness, leading to the stability. That's how the fifth step is sati sampajana, means mindfulness and clear comprehension. Yeah. Clear comprehension got four is to prevent you from deviation. Yeah. But the daily mindfulness, sati, is very important. That one you have to develop until very stable, until the mind enters sati. Then only you can have the direct seeing, the awakening and other things. Then when you are very sensitive, very mindful with that training, then it will prepare you to realize step six. You will have sense restraint, because by then you have cultivated the four right effort. You will have the initial wisdom to understand all this. Then your mind will not stir and react and break your precept anymore. Sense restraint means you cannot break your precept anymore. Then after that, you cultivate the other two right effort, means third and fourth right effort, to give rise to all the what they call virtuous action, speech and thought that are still not in you. Then right effort to refine upon them and perfect them. So when you do that, step seven will arise. Step seven is the three way of right conduct. Means right thought, right speech and right action. And you will have them. So by then you are already enlightened. At least either the first stage of sainthood or second stage of sainthood. Sotapanna shape or Sakadagami shape. So this is the natural consequence. Then after that, you move to step eight, which is cultivation of the four foundation of mindfulness. That one will lead to third stage of sainthood, Anangami, and Arahanta shape, the final fourth stage of sainthood. That's how the step nine and ten will continue from there. Then when you are able to reach step nine, you are destined for enlightenment. Your step nine is you start to see the seven factors of enlightenment keep on arising in you. Means you know you are on the right path and you have not deviated. Then step 10 is the enlightenment stage, the natural consequence of step 9. Once the enlightenment factors are there, it will condition enlightenment. So these 10 steps of the Avijja Sutta are very important. And the nutriment for all this stage are already explained by the Buddha very clearly in his teaching. That's why I put it in our website. You can go to the website and read the section about us where I wrote this, how I started this grouping called Kayamitashi, and how from there I link it to the Avijja Sutta. Yeah, the Avijja Sutta states that the first requirement, nutriment, for the enlightenment sequence is to have Dhamma friends. That's why my website is called Dhamma Friends website. Or we call it Brother Theo's Kayanamitas, where we are all Dhamma friends. Dhamma friends who walks the path of Dhamma, cultivate Dhamma together. So that is how the whole setup comes about. So those who read the website will have that understanding, that you will appreciate the beauty of the Buddha Dharma, the teaching, and why we set up this Kayamita group to develop a pool of beautiful Kayamitas. There are two types of Kayamita, like I have explained. One is the enlightened one, means Kayamita that has the Dhamma. Then the other one is the normal Kayamita who walk the power of Dhamma like everybody, but they have yet to awaken and realize. But they are also part of our family, Kayamita family. Then in order to help Kayamita, I set up the Kayanimita Fund so that it will benefit all Kayamitas. That's why Kayamita Fund has this special ability to only have the condition to donate to all the resources of the Dhamma material that I produce or use for sharing. So all these are very beautiful. Then we also do a lot of other wholesomeness. It's all explained in the activity there, and also the about our website. You go and read it. Our website is very beautiful. There's a lot of beautiful things there. You go to brotherteo.com, right? Google brotheoh.com. Then the whole website will come up. Then you click on menu. There you can see all the subheading. Then go into them. The video are also there, audio file, the publication, then our whatever activity, what we do, and the explanation and all those things. Repository is very detailed. A lot of things inside there. So this is the part that I want to share. Then we will open up for meditation reporting and Q&A, question and answer, and Dhamma sharing, especially Dhamma in daily life.
Evening, Brother Theo and...
Yes.
Amitofo.
Yeah, Amitofo, yeah.
I've been away for a while.
Yeah.
Because I attended a retreat.
Oh, okay.
21 days retreat.
Wow, that's very long. You want to share with us?
Yeah. Run by this Xingtao Fashi.
Oh, okay.
Where to start? Okay, during that 21 days, he has a schedule for us, our daily activities. We start from 5 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, okay.
9 in the evening.
Oh, okay.
Between, he gave us a lot of time, break time.
Okay.
So, breakfast, we have 2 hours.
Oh, okay.
Lunch, we have 11 until 2. Then,
oh, okay.
5:30 until 7.
Oh, okay. It's a Zoom session, huh? Zoom,
yes,
huh?
It's a Zoom session. He will share in the Zoom session and the night help him.
Okay.
For this, actually, in summary, in this 21 days duration, I realized I can see everything is in a flux.
Okay.
My meditation, sometimes good, sometimes not so good. My state also in a flux.
Yeah.
The external phenomena also in a flux.
Okay.
Keep on changing. Yeah. So, actually, what happened is when during the retreat, when the mind is silent, Brother Theo's sharing the meaning of the words, even the simple ones, the meaning sink into my mind.
Yeah, it starts to stand up.
It starts to stand out and sink in. Yeah. For example, the first few days, I said the 4 verses that Brother Theo keep sharing with us, like
Sen
Nan De Jing Yi De, Fa Nan Wen Jing Yi Wen,
Jing
Sen Fu Xiang Chi Sen Du, Gen Xiang He Sen Du Chi Sen. It stands up very clearly that it's very difficult for us to have this human body.
Human birth. And to encounter the Buddha Dharma.
Yes, even to encounter the true Buddha Dharma, like
it's even more difficult, more rare.
Yes, it's even more rare that, like Brother Theo teaches us.
Yeah.
Straight to the true mind.
Yeah.
The meaning really sink into the heart, and you really feel that it's so touching and want to.
And
so emotional that we have to really treasure this opportunity.
Yeah, it will give rise to the condition for you to have a strong determination to go this way. The faith become unshakable. These are very important, because when you understand the beauty of the teaching, it become different. It will drive you to cultivate your faith, become very deep, very strong.
Yeah, and then
unshakable. Yeah, you continue. Yes. Yeah.
Then it's like the determination, the sadhat in the Buddha Dharma in ourselves. this path become very strong that time.
Sadhu, very good.
Really sink in very deep.
Yeah.
And then some words, some simple words that Brother Teo asked us to is very rich, like phenomena.
Yeah.
Words, Brother Teo has been talking to us.
Yeah.
Times whatever the mind, whatever is perceivable by the mind is a
phenomenon. But this time, few people understand.
But this time, it really sink in and the 18 sense rhymes. That is all phenomena. The understanding into this. Anatta, Lakana Sutta, on this phenomena, suffering will arise.
Yes. When you grasp, when you cling, when you seek meaning through illusion.
Then 那个思想就是说, once we latch, 那个思想无我相无人相,
everything arise.
那个思想就生起来了。
The mark. Because you give meaning, they become mark.
Yes.
They stay there. The mark of a self cultivating, the mark of others, the mark of life, the mark of Dhamma, the mark of existence, everything arises already, like very true, very real to you. That's how suffering comes to be, that's how affliction comes to be. Very good.
Because Singtao Fasu, he used Mandarin, is it?
That's why
the moment we latch onto phenomena, 那个思想就是, whether happy or we are happy with it or we are not happy with it, 那个思想就生上来了.
Yeah, the 相 is the mark. The mark under the Buddha.
The understanding, see what I want, what my feeling is, the meaning, it really. This time really gets clear and
it like stand out. Then you understand it more deeply. Then you have a lot of joy. Then you become very determined. That is the way to actually progress. But more important is after that, you move into the daily mindfulness cultivation. You move into the actual cultivation. Without the daily mindfulness stability, all these are still in a certain way is still Dhamma, but not so much of a knowledge alone. Dhamma with some understanding, but without the daily mindfulness, the penetrative understanding or awakening cannot come to be, because the awareness nature need to be understood. You have to realize that. That's like the union, the first stage, the first hallmark of training. That one need a lot of hard work, a lot of understanding. That's why that meditative training to realize the true mind, the silent mind, that one is very important. Sing Wei Gen Ben. You have to start with mind. Then you will understand what that nature is. Then from that nature, all things arise. That's how the mundane mind come to be. That's like 一切一切唯心造. So this mundane mind is not your true mind. This one is the fire aggregate of form and mind. This one is the one with the egoic mind, grasping, clinging, and delusion. Before one become enlightened, the fire aggregate is egoic. There is delusion. So all this can only be penetrated through the stability of daily mindfulness. So what you go through is very good, but you need to complement it with that stability of daily mindfulness. Of course, the Avijja Sutta, listening to the Dhamma, reflect, contemplate, then stabilize the understanding, then go into daily life, daily mindfulness. Then starts to develop the cultivation of Noble Eightfold Path. Then develop the religious routine to stabilize your daily mindfulness. All these are very important. Otherwise, like most people do, the retreat because you are more committed, you have the condition to develop all the understanding and the faith, then after that, when the retreat finish, most people, they cannot continue because their daily life, they are not in a meditative state. So what you need is to stabilize the daily mindfulness so that you are in the meditative state, even in the midst of life. That's what heedfulness is all about. That's why the Buddha said, heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die, whereas the heedless are as if dead. So for people who only develop the faith and all this thing during the retreat, then if they don't carry this through when they are out of the retreat or after the retreat, then they miss out because they cannot stabilize the daily mindfulness. They cannot develop the heedfulness, the continuity of cultivation and practice. So initially, this one needs to be done until the awakening, the understanding is very, very clear and very stable. Then the cultivation will continue, it become an ending. Then this nature will develop further understanding. Then a lot of things will unfold. Without the stability of daily mindfulness, a lot of the stages of transformation and unfolding of the Dhamma cannot be truly understood. I realize a lot of people only gain some form of understanding through attending retreat and all things. It does help. Doesn't mean it doesn't help. Like your case, it helps. It brings you to another level. It stabilizes your understanding at another level. But the important missing link is after the retreat, you have to really put in the cultivation to develop the stability of daily mindfulness leading to heedfulness. Can follow, huh, Pramasri?
Yes, yes,
that
yes.
That one very
yes.
important. Well, yes. That one is what most Kayamita lacking. Only a few have gone into it, and only a few have really stabilized that. So for you, I think you can move into that already. So it will be very important. You continue to discuss after that what happened.
During this period, this 21 days, I realized that it's not easy. It's very difficult to root out our habitual tendency.
Yeah.
Unless we have a very stable stable mindfulness, and we have very understanding and perseverance to root it out. Because the same issue that we are having for the past, maybe I have some issues for the past few years, not to say few years, 30 years.
Yeah.
Keeps on cropping up. With your mindfulness, you see the same thing, it keeps on cropping up unless we
it's
are.
Like you can't do much to it.
We are really, really persevere and really mindful. The moment the same thought come back, you catch hold of it and then you.
You have to be careful, Pramasri. Explain this part first before you continue. You see, mindfulness is mindfulness. Wisdom is wisdom. You need mindfulness, stability to awaken, to develop the wisdom. Once the wisdom develops, that is called the initial wisdom, yoniso manasikara. That one you have means you have. That one will prompt you. So you don't have to be like very mindful to observe and all. This one are people who don't have the understanding tell you, you have to be very, very mindful. Forget about it. Because without wisdom, you will cling, you will grab. The habitual tendency will come in. But when you see it and awaken to it and realize that all this so-called habitual tendency are your habitual reaction, stirring of mind, born or wrong view. You have to straighten your view. Keep on contemplating, reflecting, straighten your view and silence your mind to awaken. Once it awakens, all the important sharing of the Dhamma is only mighty nature rolling by, no reality. Thing is just the way they are. All this will fall into place. Then it will stabilize your wisdom. Then during that time, Just like what Po Cheng went through the last sharing, you remember? She mentioned last time she used to perceive a very filthy person, very dirty and lacking in hygiene or something, negatively on. Then the habitual tendency she find it very difficult to root out. But when she developed the third and the fourth way to meditate, like I teach her, silent everything, then let it cease, then you realize this negative perception, the emotion, the habitual tendency, that one is dependent originating, born of that wrong view that she habitually carry for so long. That's why it's very difficult to root out. Then when she realized that this one is not him, not her, means this one is dependent originating, then he realized, I don't have to do anything. I just have to realize this. Then I can accept him for what he is. He is just the way he is because of his condition, his whatever, delusion or whatever, he is the way he is. So he is no different from any other living being. Deluded one will do deluded thing. Emotional people will do emotional thing. Selfish people do selfish thing. So they are just the way they are. So the way you perceive all this phenomena or living being or life situation or condition is the same, because that habitual tendency comes from your old way of thinking, old way of reaction and stirring, where the egoic mind is still there. But when you realize, hey, no you, hey, no me, no mark of this, no mark of that, only mighty nature ruling by, then everything is like the Diamond Sutta said, each year you way far. Condition Dhamma, Zhu Meng Huan Pao Ying, reflect and contemplate it to it until very clear. Then that wisdom will stabilize. Once it's stabilized, it will prompt you. And that habitual tendency cease. Like she experienced, Po Cheng said, she was very surprised that recently she saw that person again. No reaction at all. Can even radiate love and metta. Then I added, I said, radiate, may the blessing of the Triple Gem be with him and thank him for helping you to have the condition to cultivate. Because without all these conditions, you cannot cultivate. You cannot see your habitual tendency, your habitual reaction, the stirring of the mind. All this stirring comes from the wrong view, lack of wisdom. Lack of, that's why you have to apply the meditative training, the awakening, then reflect, contemplate, and use all the beautiful understanding that I share with you all. That the initial wisdom will become very penetrative, very stable. And then habitual tendency, you realize no more power. Then whatever happened, you will never panic again. You will never have worry, fear, or what. Your mind will be very calm. Because no reality, he know you, he know me, all the mark all gone. Then just mighty nature rolling by. Then you can be with the moment to understand life, do your duty, that's it, finish. Duty means there is a law of karma, form and mind has a duty, finish, just do. No right, no wrong. Based on understanding, thing is just the way it is. Each and every one of us, they are born of their own karma. Condition and supported by their own karma, and they are what they are because of their karma. So when you understand all this, he know you, he know me, all this become very clear, then you can live. Then you can manifest and become beautiful. That's why the Heart Sutta say, true emptiness is wonderful existence. This is the way to penetrate. Not like what they teach you, wow, must see very clearly and all those things must be very mind. Forget about it. Only wisdom free. You have to straighten your view, contemplate, reflect until very, very clear. Then you go through the what they call the Bodhisattva vow, the yellow card, like what Ingbi they all go through. Once you make those determinations, your coming obstruction, everything will be gone. Then you are able to develop the miscellaneous power to help you when you confront all these things. Then you can invoke power of merits for causes and conditions for you to break free of all this coming obstruction of habitual tendency and all those things. Then the nature's law will bring forth the causes and conditions. Then you vow to have this understanding, life after life, whenever you arise and when you come. Then your cultivation become very different. So today is very good because you bring up the good condition for me to share this part. So always remember, wisdom free. You have to reflect, you have to contemplate, develop the stability of Yoniso Manasikara, the fourth step of Abhijja Sutta. That one you need constant reflection, contemplation. You need to silence your mind more and more until that nature becomes very clear. Then the daily mindfulness can see very clearly. Then only the thing become very penetrative. As I just now about phenomena, I said, when you have the heedfulness, the stability of mindfulness, when you are ever mindful, you can be with the moment when the phenomena arise, is sustained and is passing away. The specific phenomena awareness become one with everything. When you see that, then you realize everything is like that. Birth, sustenance, and cessation. Then the sustenance got two phases, growth and the decaying phase. Then you keep on seeing every phenomenon like that. Everything has that universal characteristic. With that penetrating, the turning wisdom, then all phenomena become very clear to you. Then the Diamond Sutta stand out. Each year you wait for. That one shine forth. Then you start to have that initial wisdom or penetrative wisdom that is so powerful. Then no need to remember. After that, whenever you confront anything, it will just spontaneously manifest. It will just come up, prompt you. Yeah. Then whatever skillful means that you have developed through the understanding that I have shared with you all, you will have that Dhamma, that understanding. Like Sabbe Sankara Anicchang, Sabbe Sankara Dukkang, Sabbe Dhamma Anatta. Very clear. Only mighty nature flowing by. He know you, he know me. All this mark, everything, all gone. That's why you must have that stability of that wisdom in order to have the ability to root out habitual tendency. Otherwise, you can't. Eh? So hopefully, from today's sharing, you will have deeper understanding. Then the cultivation will be more direct. Because what is lacking in the world is always the cultivation part. The Dhamma is everywhere. But cultivation to reach that stage of understanding is not there. That's why daily mindfulness, the step 5 is very important. And step 4 is equally important. Of course, that one, step 2, also very important. That one you all have, Kaya Mita have. That step 3 also most of you have. But step 4, you must stabilize it. That one, keep on reflecting. Keep on listening to the Dhamma. Reflect, contemplate, and inquire. Why did the Buddha say this? Why did Brother Theo share this? So develop the understanding. Then make sure when you do the contemplation, reflection, inquiry, all this stand out. That has meaning. Then you will know how to use them and apply them. Then simultaneously, when you confront life, when you are in the midst of a situation, that understanding just surface, spontaneously arise from you, and you will understand already. So all those yoniso manasikara, wisdom at the moment of sense experience, is very powerful. Very, very powerful. Okay, Ramasuri?
Yes. But can I report a bit?
Yeah, can you report
some
more?
So that same issue when it arises again. So I'm mindful that it is arising when we have no negativity against that issue, because you just stay with it. I can feel the force, the energy that. No, the negative energy, it dissipates at the heart area.
That one is very good. That one is the initial stage. That's why you have to do that very often. Otherwise, you cannot have the wisdom. Because, like what you mentioned just now, when you confront the same situation again, you realize you are using your memory. Some of your memory, because that is not the unisoma. If the unisoma nasikara come out, it will be gone straight away. But because you use some form of that contemplative knowledge or some form of initial wisdom, which is not penetrative yet, to reflect on it, then you realize, you say, if you are not emotional, it will not entangle you. Then you try to apply the third way, be with it, understand not? Then you realize it's peace. That one, you have to do it. That one, initially, like Po Ching went through, the step three, aware, and let it cease. That one, you have to do it many times, whatever situation. Every time it ceases, then you realize all this emotion or wrong view or the wrong perception are not you. Because all this wrong view that stir your emotion, habitual tendency, they are dependent originating, not intrinsic within your true mind, your true nature. It's not you. They know you, they know me. So all these things, you have to stabilize it first. And then only the yoniso manasikara surface and prompt you, like what Po Ching went through. Yours is the initial stage. What you are doing is good. This is the initial stage. You will go through like that first. Then, of course, you have the joy. But for the first time, you can do something about it. But you realize later, when that thing become very traumatic or more serious, you can find out for yourself. You are still God. You are still God. So then that time you realize the stability of yoniso manasikara is still not there. But don't worry. This thing will come. Then you will come to understand how my advice and explanation just now become very important. You need to reflect, contemplate, inquire, and develop the understanding until very, very stable. Then the daily mindfulness must come in to enable all this. Then whenever you have a situation or an emotion, silence your mind immediately. Stay with it, be with it. And do that more and more often until you are able to cease whatever emotion or wrong view or habitual tendency, then that thought no more. Once you are aware there is no wrong thought, no wrong thought, it cannot stir your mind, there is no emotion, that's why everything ceases. Then you realize this is dependent originating, not intrinsic. Anger is not you, fear is not you, emotion is not you, all this habitual tendency, that reaction is not you. These are you waiver, condition them. Then you will come to a very stable, penetrative understanding because you realize it through the third way when you silence your mind. Then you go to the fourth way, trace the origination factor. Why did you react and stir? Why must you always use the third way to do it? Before it stir, it must stop. That's why the Buddha said, trace the origination factor, then retrospectively reverse it. Ah, that is right view. So next time when it happens, you can handle, because retrospectively reverse it means you have been carrying this habitual tendency, which is the wrong view that has become so habitual that it has so much power over you because your wisdom is not strong enough or stable enough to counter it. So
yes, Matthew, you are right. The same issue. And it is so sensitive, the moment it touches that part,
it will trigger off.
Jump up already.
Yeah. So like you step on somebody's tail.
Yes, the emotion very fast. But after some contemplation, and I feel that it's my own stupidity to hold on.
Correct. You have to straighten
first
that
words image or sentences for so long.
Yes. You have to straighten that view. Padmasri, I realize what is missing in your cultivation is you get angry with yourself. No need. Forget about it. You always want to say, how come after so many years, so many times, so many teachings, I still do? Forget about it. It's not you. It's the form and mind that doesn't understand. So the fourth way is to give you the understanding. So you reflect and contemplate. Don't blame yourself anymore. Don't regret, remorse, or whatever. Forget about it. That is the reality. Before you understand, before the wisdom surface, you will continue to react. like you realize sometimes it's very strong. So forget about blaming yourself and all those things. This is all still the mark and the atta. So straight away you ask yourself, what is happening? Trace the original factor. It's because you either saw something that stirred, or you hear something that stirred, or recall to memory that stirred. These three doors, very powerful.
That same problem happened to me is through memory. I've been keeping that issue.
Memory is
the memory. So
yeah,
after
because the accumulated phobia,
it is the accumulation.
And anger and aversion or insecurity or whatever negativity or mindset, that thing is accumulated. There's a 苦气,
Yes, yeah, I realize it's the.
So what you must do is you listen. You must straighten that view. Straighten that view means you trace the origination factor already. This is how you perceive things, because it's from the past. It's the habitual tendency built up. So you ask yourself, what does the Buddha teach? We have to reverse all these to an understanding. The Buddha teaches to see things as they are, to accept the reality of the moment. Your condition like that, things will like that, means now it applies to you. Before you have the understanding and the unisomonite, you will behave this way. So don't blame yourself, but there is he no you, the egoic mind come through sakayatiti. So now you understand already. You say it's just a thought. How come it has power over me? Then you realize thought divide, thought discriminate, thought create duality and all those things. So from there, you break free. Then you learn to see things as they are. If it's only a thought, then why do I hold on to it? Why do I create that grasping, clinging and give meaning? Why do I hold on to that views, opinion of what that thing is? So all this is going to allow you to penetrate into the aggregates. Then you realize the beauty of the Buddha's teaching. When you grasp onto this aggregate, it gives rise to suffering. Upadana kanda dukkha. Then you realize, they are just aggregate. If you have wisdom, it becomes non-grasping, pure. That's why you have to learn to see things as they are. If the five aggregate of form and mind is not me, if I don't exist, then who perceive him? It's the thought, it's the view, the conditioning, the belief system. Then don't act according to that. Act according to Dhamma, wisdom, following the Noble Eightfold Path. Then with right thought, leading to right speech, right action. This is how you solve. You don't go and stir your mind and suppress it or don't want to get angry and try to do all those things and say you must watch it and forget about it. Without wisdom, you cannot straighten your view. And you have to learn. The Buddha teaching is very important. Whatever that arise, there are causes and conditions. So condition like that, things will be like that. Means you are just the way you are. You cannot change that already. Unless you straighten your view, you will continue to repeat the habitual tendency. Yeah. You may try to like what you go through just now, the initial understanding, I shouldn't react, I shouldn't stir my mind, I shouldn't create all this. Then you silent, you go third way. The third way can allow you to have some wisdom to understand that this is not real. But it doesn't solve your problem. It doesn't lead to the right view, straightening of view. Yes, you have to trace the origination factor, then retrospectively straighten your view to reverse it. So retrospectively straightening your view to reverse it is a totally new field of cultivation. So you have to reflect on all those things that I share. The Buddha say, see things as they are. Condition like that, things are like that. Whatever that arise, there are causes and conditions. So all these things is the reality, suchness. So if these are the reality, then why I still perceive him otherwise? Or perceive that situation otherwise? Means the ego is there. Sakayatiti is there. Wrong view is there. So I had to straighten my view through understanding like what Po Ching went through to accept that person, that situation, or that whatever condition as reality. That is the reality. That is suchness. He is the way he is. The world is the world. People with that type of situation has that type of behavior. So be at peace. Learn to accept the reality of the moment. Then from there, move and act. Act with noble eightfold power, wisdom. No more this and that. No more negativity. That's how you straighten your view. Then when you can have that understanding, like Po Ching went through, then he doesn't perceive that person anymore. He accepts that reality. He is the way he is. That's why the mind become at peace. Because that Yoni Soh Manasikara prompted her. After she reflected and contemplated the fourth way, she straightened her view. So that straightening of view initially is not stable one. It will come like an afterthought. But never mind. Because this will start to stabilize. As you encounter more and more situations, it will start to stabilize. Then when your complete awakening to the daily mindfulness come about, when you see phenomena, the universal characteristic apply to all phenomena, then you awaken. Then that time, whatever situation, phenomena, no more issue. You can just understand and penetrate. That is what wisdom is. Wisdom is not rigid, not fixed. It's an overall complete understanding. But you have to awaken to the universal characteristic. It means you will come to the realization that all phenomena is like that. All appearances, all conditions, they are like that. That is the awakening. So remember that. Today is very good. You bring out a lot of good conditions for all this Dhamma to come out. And these are the final point of cultivation that a lot of people cannot penetrate. So for you, you go back and listen to this again. It will help you a lot. So yes, start to you. My daughter want to share something.
Something reminded, your situation reminded me of something I went through. So I was thinking it might be good to share. There was some time when I threw up the situation I was facing. Then I actually remember what my dad said about all the negativity or those wrong views, wrong thoughts, actually is because of our perception. We perceive it with negativity. Then there were a few times where I actually wondered to myself, how am I perceiving it negatively? I say there's no other way to perceive it. This is a bad thing. Then, a few times it happens and then I couldn't find answer, then I let it be. Then I move on. After a while, then I realized it actually dawns on me that it's true. Everything that happened to me that I felt negatively about, actually, if I choose to perceive it positively, there is always a positive angle. And I can actually be grateful instead of being angry or telling myself I was stupid, I was deceived, or I could have done better. Actually, now I look back, I could actually be grateful that that happened to me, or I have reacted that way. Yeah. I actually can see it in a positive light, and I feel good about everything that has happened so far. So if you don't see how else you can view it, it's because we are still stuck looking at it negatively. So until we can really straighten our view, find a positive angle, then you realize, oh, both views are there. Doesn't matter, we both are perception.
Yeah.
Nobody actually needs to have one right view of that. So you choose which perspective you want to keep.
Duality pertains to the world. Understand? The conditioned world. So conditioned world has duality. Like my daughter went through, no problem. So we accept because that is the conditioned world. But our wisdom go beyond duality. Right and wrong is not important. You want to be right? Yes, you are right. According to you, I never lie. Understand? So I can accept him for what he is. If he wants to be right, let him be right. So that is the understanding. Understanding is very important in Dhamma. It's not about right and wrong. not about blaming yourself and all that, but that is still the egoic mind. Understand? That is still the mark of a self existing, cultivating, doing all these things. So this part is not easy to penetrate, not easy to realize. The anatta nature you need to awaken. You need a very stable daily mindfulness, the direct seeing. Then you need to awaken to phenomena, the universal characteristic. Otherwise, that wisdom I realize is still not penetrative. Because the first and second turning wisdom is useful, but unless you have your past, it cannot trigger of penetrative awakening. So penetrative awakening need the third turning, the daily mindfulness. Okay? Yeah?
Okay. And Radio, and also that I realized that.
Okay.
Is what continue from what just this switch is not negativity really kills us spiritually because negativity we cannot relax. The moment we cannot relax, we cannot be
holding on it at the thought level. That's why you cannot relax because it started to haunt you. That's why you cannot be in a state of clarity, relaxed awareness, to be at peace. Because sankara anicchang, sankara dukkang, but you don't see the anicchang, it continues to stay there. That's why it will give you problem. That's why you experience all those things, it continues to torment you. That's why the Buddha said, avoid all evil. Because all this evil, they have the evil root. Root of all evil. That's why they make you evil. That's why the evil root are there. They make you evil. Means the evil roots have conditioned your negativity or mind state. That's why after it arises, then you want to abandon it. You don't have wisdom. You cannot. That's why the right thought to abandon it or prevent it from arising need wisdom. Yeah. So the third way and the fourth way is the best way, the meditative way to arise the initial wisdom and the straightening of you to reverse it. The first two ways is still thought-based. That one's still not effective. But third and fourth way. So always remember this and listen to today's sharing. Then improve on your cultivation. Otherwise, a lot of people get stuck in the phase that you all are going through. Because they use the reasoning, the mundane mind to analyze. Oh, that, like you say, you thought you know, this evil is very, very bad. It's nothing to do with that evil root. Evil root is born of delusion. Without delusion, there is no evil root. Understand? So what you need is the straightening of you to root out that avijja, that ignorance, or that sakayaditi. So once that one is gone, you don't have to like sunseal, bother about the dust, understand now? Polish until it shines so that no dust can. That one is very, very difficult. That one, how to awaken. Yeah, you don't know that the true mind originally is nothing. How can the dust align? All this duality created by the mundane mind and the thought. So mundane mind has duality. Duality pertains to the mundane world, the conditioned world. But wisdom-wise, the unconditioned Dhamma is the one that gives you the wisdom to free your mind, to liberate your mind, so that you are not caught in duality, so that you are not caught in the Dhamma. That's why attachment to Dhamma is still an attachment. That's why Dhamma, knowledge, bind. So when you cling to Dhamma, you cling to knowledge, it binds. Because the true mind is without anything. No word, no concept, no views, no opinion. How can it condition emotion? Cannot. Avijja paccaya sankhara cannot arise. That's why stay with the true mind, silent. Realize that nature. Then you realize the rest is mundane mind. Dependent originating. Everything arises from the mind. Each here, wei xing zao. The mind created it. Xing zao cheng. So all this understanding, when you reflect and contemplate and inquire, it become more and more stable, more and more stable. Then your wisdom become more and more stable and more penetrative. Then it will prompt you. If it cannot prompt you, means the wisdom is still not stable yet. So always remember that. Then don't try to go and reason and all things. Go back to the wisdom path. Cultivate with daily mindfulness to stabilize the understanding. Then retrospectively reverse all this wrong view. Contemplate and reflect. Trace the origination factor. Then reverse it through all the teaching that I have shared with you. That is the true penetrative way to root out habitual tendency. Otherwise, it's very difficult. That's why now Ingbi also start to understand, Po Ching also start to understand that for you, you have started to go into the cultivation already. So this is very useful. Thank you so much, yeah, for once.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you, Rakim.
Yeah, yeah. Then maybe you can continue. What else?
I realized that to relax is very, very important.
Yeah, correct.
Very important. The more relaxed we are, the more we can go deeper into our daily mindfulness.
Because when you relax, means what? No more problem. Understand? No more thinking, no more thought. That's why relax, aware. The awareness stabilize, build up. That's why you feel very light, and even when we feel like a cotton wool.
Yeah,
that one you can attach to all those state one. You listen. What I want you to understand is without thought, without all this sankhara, the duality, the whatever dhamma, there is just this true mind, the silent mind, the awareness nature. And without thought, without all this sankhara, you know what that thing is? The original mind return. That is stillness, tranquility. That's why you describe one, feel very light, all say. When you describe that, it becomes Dhamma, then you will attach to those states and you want to have it, like you feel very good. No, it's not about that feeling. That feeling is one aspect that you will experience, but it's not important. The important is the wisdom. The wisdom is this true mind has got nothing. No word, no concept, no views, no opinion, no sankhara. That's why its original state is empty. Like the Hui Neng, he came to, originally there was nothing. 本来无一物,何处惹尘埃? So you must realize the original mind, the true mind is without all this duality, without all this sankhara, without all this. That's why it's very peaceful, very tranquil, very still.
If we can go very deep into the awareness.
It's not the experience. Listen, Pamasuri.
I want
you to listen. It's the understanding that this state is the state that free you, not the experience you go through. All those things that you describe can actually lead to attachment. Because what is important is to realize that through my desire, that nature must stabilize. Then you realize whatever that come in are the dust from outside. Originally inside there is no word, nothing. That's why it's the unconditioned. The unconditioned is just that nature, the awareness nature. But that one cannot come out and live life. That's why that one is not a being, not a person. Then you will not attach to that one. You will not say, oh, I realize that. You think that is you. No. It's to develop the wisdom that nature is like that. Because it's the unconditioned. To see that, the one you start to describe, feel very light, very peaceful, very tranquil, very still. Of course you can realize that, but when you realize that, it become a word, means the mundane mind has come in. But that state is without sankhara movement. That's why it's very still, very tranquil, but these are words. But the actual nature without word, you must experience that. Don't go experience that with the word one. With the word one is to describe the enlightenment state so that people get interested in realizing that state. But the state that you realize, the pu sen pu mie, without any of this description, it's just that unconditioned. Then you realize that one is a nature, cannot come out and live like. That's why he know you, he know me. That true mind is not me. That true nature is a nature. It's not a being. You have to realize that. Understand?
Yes.
Because a lot of people are caught in the experience and the duality. That's why I say meditation, always remember, not about the experience, it's the wisdom. If it cannot give you wisdom, no use. But of course, it comes as a byproduct. You can experience them. Then you can describe them. That's why it's wonderful existence. But the true cultivation is not to be deceived by all those states. All those states can be described, but that description is not that thing. But that thing, when you realize, it's just the unconditioned stillness. No word, nothing. No thought. Just that nature. Just that nature. Aware. Without anything. That's why that one have to stabilize. Realize it. Stabilize it. Understand it. Then that one become very penetrative. Okay?
Thank you, very good.
Okay. Thank you so much. Okay, let us rejoice. Sadhu. 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 Wow, getting late already. I think we have to end. 10:47. Thank you so much, Pamasuri, for the good
thank
share.
Thank you, Ratio. Thank you.
Okay, you think about the very good condition. Then you got anything else, maybe you can maybe write it down. Then next session, we can share some more. So all this will bring forth the condition for me to share the final point of the practice. But unless people reach those stage, I cannot elaborate. Otherwise, no use, no meaning, because people either cannot follow or too deep for them. It is a waste of time. But because now you have gone through that stage, that's why I can describe to you further and correct, adjust back for you the understanding so that the next time you do it, you will not debate like what song they all went through. So all these are very useful, very important. So once more, rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.